The following is a presentation of Morning Drive Media.
Broadcasting on location at the Collider Video Studios in Burbank, California. This is the Knapsack Files. I'm Ken Knapsack here for another edition of the main show, The Big Interview. We love bringing in some of your favorites and mine to talk about life, the universe, and everything. And this is a returning guest. So that means we don't have to talk about the origins. This isn't an origin story. This is the dark night of his interviews. And that is famed Ecuadorian film reviewer, JTE, Josh Tapia. Welcome back to the Netflix House.
Yes, episode 2, Return of the JTE?
JTE?
Not Jedi.
Look, you know, you're a fascinating character. There's no doubt about
it. Oh, thank you.
And your legend has grown, I think, since the last time.
Okay.
And I like to think the Knapsack Files appearance you did back in 2013, I believe it was 2013.
Dropped a bombshell.
You dropped a bombshell and started the rise of JT right then and there.
Oh, really?
Because you went from this intern, JTI, everyone liked, to you discovering that you had lied to us to get onto the show.
Yep.
And kept that secret for a year, revealed it only on my podcast, showed a new side to you.
Yeah, I mean, I hope it's the ambitious side. I have a lot of ambition when I was younger. Maybe not as much now.
No,
I still do. But back then, I was hungry.
Yeah.
As they said in Rocky III, this guy's hungry. Like, you'll do whatever you can just to scrape by. And you just got to put yourself in the right position.
And now your dreams have come true here.
Yeah, it's been great. I mean, I love my job, and that's a rare thing.
Yeah,
a lot of people can't
we got to work together for a year and a half at Screen Junkies, and and look, we always tease you do a lot of funny things. We love to tease you about here, but I think in that year and a half, discovered you are one of the best workmates I've ever had.
Oh, thanks.
You are calm.
Yep.
You are no drama. You are easygoing and in a crazy world, and I'm part of the craziness. To just be able to drive in to work with you or work alongside of you in the engineer booth and movie fights, you were always a good presence. I do miss that.
Thanks. I've always kind of had that easygoing presence. I don't really get into the drama.
Yeah.
I remember I worked at a movie. One of my first jobs out of high school is I worked at a movie theater. Shocker.
Yeah.
And I always came in, you know, wasn't the best job. It was kind of, movie theater job's okay, but I remember my boss, like a year in, was just like, where you check in to like clock in, was right at the manager's desk. I remember clocking in, and my boss, Sean, looked at me and said, "Josh, how are you just always in a good mood?" He's like, "No matter what, man, every day I know you're going to come in with a smile on your face and you're just going to be easygoing." And I was like, "I don't know, Sean. I mean, that's how I feel."
That's how it would be at Screen Junkies. Look, anything becomes a job after a while, and you're going to have dramas and you have problems and frustrations. And I sometimes will let things get to me too much and still do. And I'd come into that studio there where you and I would just work quietly by ourselves along with Ryan Elliott, the camera guy who was just on Knapsack Files, Billy Patterson later on, James Anderson, and all the producers there. And I would rush out, screaming and shouting, and you'd just be like, "Ah, man, that kind of sucks. I'm going to get a sandwich."
Well, you were a producer. I mean, you definitely had a lot more weight on your shoulders, some more responsibilities, deadlines.
Sure.
When you're an engineer, it really comes on to you.
Yeah.
Like, I'm the one who knows how to work this thing.
Yeah.
So any pressure that is given to me is usually on myself.
Yeah.
I don't have the higher-ups. They're all super cool with me there. They just let me do my thing.
Yeah, everyone was super cool. But you deal with the frustrations a little bit. You have a good approach to life. And I wanted to start the conversation there. Because you'd be joking, and we'd be driving home, and sometimes you'd be like, "Man, this is a life. It's so good to be me."
Yep.
And that is there's some humor in that, but there's some truth in that. Your daily approach on what you want out of life is pretty damn solid. How do you wake up every day? What is there a plan, game plan, or you just be?
No, I just look at where I could be. You know what I mean? Growing up as a kid, this was never on the roadmap. I never imagined it was a dream. Like, I would love to work, not just so much movies, but have a job where I didn't hate work.
Right.
And didn't hate going to work every day. From a small kid in Connecticut who's now living in L.A., is getting paid to talk about movies.
Right.
And I love Hollywood. I love the whole L.A. life. Like, I really do love it. Like, some people come here, they don't really get into it.
Yeah.
They just doesn't fit them. It just fits me. So And for me, just waking up to beautiful weather every day helps me be a happier person already. I mean, when it's nice outside every day, it's kind of hard to feel shitty. If I was in Seattle and it was rainy and cloudy all day, maybe things would get to me a little bit more.
Or the snows of Connecticut back in your home or, you know, tough streets of Ecuador where you did spend, all jokes aside, your living, right?
Yeah. I took a spent year there. And that was, that was a interesting year, just kind of finding myself. There were some, listen, I went through some hard times in LA.
Sure.
There are times where I wasn't finding work. I just got out of a relationship. Mm-hmm. And there were times where I was down, but I don't think I ever
believe it.
I don't think I ever projected it to the point where, like, if I'm in a bad mood, I'm not going to take it out on people around me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to, like, come in like a dark cloud into a room.
Yeah.
I'll deal with that on my own when I'm home, but, like, when I'm out and about, like, why would I project that to somebody else?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, there's been days where you know, you'd be a little upset. Not upset, but like, I would know later on driving home, you'd be like, oh, that kind of sucked, that thing that happened today. But at work, you're just kind of like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Got headphones in. I'm going to do whatever I need to be done.
Yeah.
And it's good. It's a good approach to life. You should write like a little self-help book, the self-help book, the JTE Guide to Life, you know? God,
it wouldn't be that long. I feel like
you don't need five pages.
Yeah, I feel it's a very simple game plan. There's not like a deep, like, you know, I don't have some great quote I can just pull out and be like, life, Confucius, and all that. But yeah, I'm pretty simple. I think that's why my life.
That's what
is
so, keep it
it's
simple.
A simple life, man.
Keep it simple. And do you have any like long term goals or plans that you're? And I want to get into JT Movie Thinks the website, but does because sometimes I think that's what buries a lot of the other folks, myself included. Of I got to get to this level. I got to do this, and how do I do this? And you just kind of you don't seem to have that. But do you have those kind of aspirations?
I don't have a game plan. That's for sure.
Oh, that's great.
I literally enjoy not knowing where I could be a year from now.
Really?
I've always enjoyed, and that's one reason why, like, you know, I have relatives and friends who bought houses. And to me, I'm like, that means I'm stuck somewhere.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That means I'm going to be, that means that's a responsibility I have to be somewhere.
Yeah.
Maybe one day I'll get to that point where I want to have, like, somewhere to, you know, lay my head for good, but right now, I like not knowing what's going to happen a year or two from now. I just kind of, as long as I can put food on the table and a roof over my head, I'll be pretty happy.
That's fascinating. Because I truly believe that from you.
Yeah.
I truly believe that that is your existence. And so it's not, you're, you know, not that you're opposed to marriage, but the idea of marriage and a dog and two kids and a picket fence is not, you're scoffing at it.
No, it's just not in my game plan. Again, like maybe it'll happen organically.
Right.
But I'm not like, I don't have like, you know, a timeline where I'm like, all right, by this age, I need to have a house. By this age, I need to have my mortgage paid off. I need to have kids by this age. I need to be married by this age. For me, like, something presents itself and it works for me, I'll go with it. If not, I'm not like, you know, I don't have a plan, man.
Yeah. When did you, the rise of JT Movie Thinks, which is your...
I don't know if it's risen yet.
It's still rising.
It's rising.
But I've loved seeing this because you've always... One of the things, and this gets overlooked, is when you showed up as JTI on the Schmoes Know movie show back in Phase 3, you're a movie fan who really understands and loves movies. This character that developed after of the, you know, lovable, affable, you know, sometimes stumbling over his words, JTE or JTI.
I think once you put yourself on camera or on a podcast, the real you is going to seep through there.
Sure.
That's not a – I'm not making this stuff up. Like, people are like, you can't be serious. You didn't really – you did that. You didn't do that on purpose. You did that on purpose. When I was with Andy, we were playing a game, and I was thinking of a movie about the Cuba Missile Crisis. And I said, the Cuba Gooding Missile Crisis.
Right.
Like, I just said that out.
That one live.
Yeah. And people are like, you did that on purpose. I was like, no. My brain is just doesn't work sometimes.
Let's go, because I almost witnessed you die the other day.
What?
Remember that? I was we grabbed some dinner with Ryan, camera guy for Screen Junkies, and we were about to cross the street, and you said goodbye, and you crossed the street, but you had a red light, and you almost got hit by a car.
I did not almost. You're exaggerating.
I don't think I am.
I took two steps, but like I wasn't like not looking left and right. I thought the light went. And then once I saw the cars keep moving, I backed up.
You did back up.
Yeah.
You backed up. We thought we were going to witness the death of JTE.
Oh, man.
Does your mind just work too fast?
Yeah, sometimes I think maybe, sometimes when I'm talking, I have so many ideas going on.
Sure.
And like they crisscross.
Yeah.
And they'll come out mixed up. Yeah. Sometimes I don't think I think enough before I talk. Sometimes my mouth just goes without my brain fully cooperating.
I'm guilty of that too, because any podcast I do in general, any speaking, I don't plan generally too much ahead. I don't memorize things. So yeah, sometimes I'll stumble myself into corners. I can mispronounce things just as much as you do. You just have this Trisanosauratops has probably staked your reputation in Guillermo del Toro.
It's so funny because Harloff was like known for the one to mispronounce stuff on the Schmoes Know reviews and stuff. Yes, like even the podcast. Yeah. Like he used to get a hard time for it a little bit before I showed up.
Yeah.
I showed up and just he was happier than anybody because he goes, "Oh my God, no one's going to give me shit anymore because this guy's bringing it to normal."
You made it an art form.
Yeah, pretty much.
What you did. You made it an absolute art form. Anyways, to go back, so you launched this. So you know, point of all that, where I was going with is you really do know movies, and you're not just some engineer. You there's a reason you can go on the movie trivia showdown and compete. There's a reason you can go on movie fights and compete. You really, really do know movies. You're an old school movie fan. So I guess it would make sense that an engineer would launch his own brand, JT Movie. Thanks.
Yeah, and it wasn't. Yeah, obviously, I didn't do it right away. For me, like it took a while being on Schmoes Know podcast to get comfortable on a microphone, to get comfortable on camera. Like that's not stuff I did before. Mm-hmm. I always worked behind the scenes. I used to act in college. We just do skits and stuff. I could act a little bit, but that I think every film kid thinks he could act a little bit when he's making his own films. But to have a live audience and have knowing thousands or hundreds of people are going to listen to something.
Yeah.
It definitely put some pressure on me when I first started, being part of the show. And I think that's why, honestly, the first year or two, I didn't even try to do anything like this.
Yeah.
But after a while, I was like, okay, you know what? I'm at the point now where I'm comfortable on the mic. I'm comfortable in front of cameras. Yeah, I do slip up once in a while.
Sure.
I'm not a pro. I never took any classes for hosting or any of that stuff. So, like, I really am an amateur when it comes down to it. But, like you said, I do know my movies.
Yeah.
So, and I think the time I speak the best is when I'm talking about something I know about.
Right.
And that's movies. So if I'm going to do anything, it's going to be JT Movie Thinks.
And it started with your podcast, which was very fun. It was always just you interviewing people about the movie they last saw.
Yeah, no structure. I never knew going in what they were going to tell me. And I really enjoyed that aspect of it. And I never, some people do podcasts. They have, rundowns. They have sheets. this is what we're going to do. I literally just,
it's good stuff.
Yeah, it's similar to
this. Preparation's good.
Just two mics and let some people talk.
Two mics and the magic of what happens.
Exactly.
That's what I like to say. And then sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I'll stumble for questions or feel like, get stumbled into a corner in a conversation. But, yeah, just kind of free form, man. Yeah. Free form.
And the idea for the podcast really came just from hanging out with the Schmoes after the podcast.
Right.
We would go to Buffalo Wild Wings or Chili's and we would just I'd be like, Mark, what'd you see lately?
Yeah.
And Mark would be like, oh, I went and saw this screening or I rewatched this. And then it was just, we would all bullshit and talk about it. And that's kind of what I wanted to capture that podcast was just talking to people who are movie lovers that talk about movies.
Yeah. And then now you move to video. You got reviews.
Yes.
You got your famous thumbnails. Yeah. Thumbnails. See, I'm saying things wrong. Thumbnails. Thumbnails. And now you're reviewing with April.
Yeah, my girlfriend.
Your partner in crime here. Mm-hmm. April Dawn 13. You remember her Twitter handle.
Yes,
now,
I do. I used to get shit at this. People think I'm really bad at spelling. I'm not that bad. Here's what I'm really bad at. I'm a horrible typer. I am horrible when it comes to typing things because I don't double check it.
Yeah.
And I'll type quickly. And when I type quickly, I mess up.
And you don't double check.
And I don't double check it enough. And that's sometimes at movie fights, you'll see a misspelling.
Yeah.
It's not because I misspelled a word that was there's no way I would have thought that's how
you called John Flick a YouTuber.
Yeah, tuber. And all that was an extra B. I know how to spell YouTuber. I type too fast and.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you don't slow down to check.
Yeah, I'm not saying I'm the greatest speller in the world, but my typing is really what I think gets me in trouble more than anything.
You got to calm down. You got to breathe. So what else do you hope to accomplish with JT Movie Thanks?
Well, for me, the same way I started a podcast, I just wanted to get my voice out there not by itself, but just where it was the forefront of
have your own brand. Talking.
Yeah. For me, I just love doing the Schmoes Know podcast. We're Toad Hop and all that.
Yeah.
But you get to get in there and anyone who listens to that show, you just want to butt in and be like, oh yeah, this is what I think.
Right.
And Schmoes gave me the opportunity to do that but there was so much unsaid. I felt like after an episode, I'm like, oh man, I wish I could have said this.
Jump on and say this and say that. Yeah,
so for me, the podcast was really just to give me an opportunity to really get out everything I wanted to say that was going on in the movie world.
Right.
And, you know, have some fun guests and talk about some movies that maybe aren't always talked about.
Yeah, absolutely. Does it feel weird to, you know, again, we talk about, you know, the young boy from Connecticut and now you have your own stuff and you go to these Screen Junkies events, you're recognized, you go to Schmo's events, you're recognized, you're gaining notoriety as one of the main members of the Schmodown, movie trivia Schmodown show. Is it so surreal for you?
It is. You know, when I first started getting recognized for Schmo's, it was so cool. It was weird.
Mm-hmm.
But like in the last 2 years, going to Screen Junkies, doing movie fights, and now with the Schmodown, the audience has gotten much larger. And so like there's times where I get recognized for Schmoes. Yeah. There's times I get recognized for Screen Junkies.
Right.
And sometimes there's the one guy who knows both. And it's like, okay, so it's like it's kind of nice to have my foot in all these different, you know.
Didn't you get recognized back home in front of your family?
Yes. That was amazing because like a kid from my hometown was like, Thursday night, I did Schmoes. Mm-hmm. I took the red eye that night to Connecticut.
Yeah.
And then that next afternoon, my family picked me up at the airport. We stopped to get some food. And a kid was like, JT, I just saw you on Schmoes last night. Like, how are you in Connecticut right now? And I was like, this is my hometown. I took the red eye. And he was just like, wow.
Blown away. And then your family thought you were actually cool for once.
Yeah, for once. Yeah, oh my God, that's all I heard for the rest of the weekend. Because I was there for my sister's wedding.
Yeah.
And all I heard for like the rest of that weekend was, ooh, Mr. Big Shot. Oh, and I'm like, one kid recognized me.
How much does it mean to you to want to take some of these titles in the Schmodown and maybe defeat Dan Merle in movie fights? Do you see it as some justification as the, you know, the intern overlooked, the engineer overlooked?
Yeah. Well, I'm very competitive, and it's sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad.
Yeah.
I always want to win, and so yeah, I want the belts. Here's the thing: when people say, like, I've lost a few matches in a row.
Yeah.
I think I lost like 5 in a row, and people are like, "You suck," and I'm like, "Dude, I lost these matches by like last questions.
Right.
Like overtime.
Right.
Like I'm thinking to myself, like how that's like if Jordan played Bird, you don't say Bird sucked because he lost most of the games.
Right.
They're two great players. Listen, I'm going to get back up in the singles.
Yeah.
The game is, it's such, part of it is skill and part of it is luck, man.
Yeah.
You got to be lucky and skillful.
Talk about this persona, because I know you're a simple man, like we talked up front. You don't your ego's in check. You have a great approach to life. And then when you started the movie trivia Schmodown, and again for those who this comes up now, we had Roke on recently, and I've had some other folks from the movie trivia Schmodown. If you haven't watched it, it's on Collider Video, and it's competitive movie trivia. It's the best way to describe it, with a little bit of pro wrestling flavor. When that started, and I'm going back to even when it was on the main show for Schmoes. I'd call you an American hero character.
Oh yeah,
you came out with an American flag.
Yep.
People were rooting for you. Talk about that as it turned into people booing you.
Well, I think first of all, those first showdowns were really bragging rights in between our group.
Right, right.
Like, I wanted to be able, because it wasn't as big of a field as people. So it was like going up against your friends.
Right.
And we all wanted to win so we could brag. I know more than Ellis or Christian knows more than me.
Right.
It was all about bragging rights. And I love America. I've always been very.
I do too.
I've always been very patriotic. Obnoxiously.
Obnoxiously. Okay.
And, anytime I could finally put myself out there on stage, we started doing these entrances.
Yeah.
It wasn't even like a question of what I was going to do.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm just coming out representing America, because who's not going to want to be on the side of America?
Sometimes well, a lot
some
of
people. Yeah.
But in this day and age, but I know what you mean, man. You wore that camo jacket, American flag, and you were kind of a hero.
I loved it.
You're a hero character. You did love it.
I loved it because I just love representing the USA, baby. We're number one. We got to be the best. So,
yeah.
And I considered myself to be the best.
But then things started to turn, and now you and Jeff Snyder as the Patriots.
Champions, yep.
Champions of the team division. The tide started to turn a little bit. I saw the performer in you reach a new level.
Well, I think Christian, Didn't do me any favors.
He didn't.
When the way he, you know, blew up my spot when I messaged Clark Wolf.
Yeah.
So
did you feel betrayed by that? Because that was kind of real.
Well, he did it on live camera.
Right.
So of
right.
course I was a little bit like, come on, man. I was like behind closed doors, but you know Christian. He wants he wants it on the camera.
He wants to make some schmo show. He wants to make some schmo show.
Listen, again, I wanted to win.
Yeah.
I took the schmoes to one question away from winning the championship.
Right.
I'll never forget that question. It was like, what was the name of the con in not the Hustler? Yeah, was it the Hustler? The one with Paul Newman.
The
Sting.
The Sting.
The Sting. The question was like, what was the name of the con? And I called it the Long Con, which it was a long con, but that wasn't the name of it in the film. One question away with Finstock as my partner. And I knew if I had anybody else who just had a little bit more of a wider net of knowledge, I could win the championship.
You could win. And so you reach out to Clark Wolf, who's an immensely talented, knowledgeable.
At the time. Yeah. And she's really, I mean, I know horror decently, but she was like really strong in horror.
Right.
And I figured she might have, you know, again, she could fill out some of the holes that I have that don't, my movie knowledge is a little bit weaker. But
yeah.
I ended up, you know, getting Jeff Snyder, and he is, he's got some weaknesses. Like, if he gets anything Marvel DC, I got to pick up the slack.
You got to pick up the slack.
But he's really good when it comes to, like, actors and directors and certain filmographies, more so than me sometimes.
But talk about this heel persona you guys have. And you're in something that initially were, are you uncomfortable with this? Or well, are you more comfortable now?
I think the best heels are the heels that don't see themselves as heels.
Sure.
I don't see myself as a heel.
Every villain is the hero of his own story.
Yeah. I think I don't see us as heels.
Mm-hmm.
I just see us as winners. And much like my beloved New England Patriots, once you win enough, I don't care how nice you are, how good you are, people are going to hate you just to hate you.
Are you comfortable with this more now than you were back then?
If I have a championship, of course, as long as I have that championship belt around me, I'm comfortable.
I mean, you got no Patriots poncho on now. This is, isn't a documentary. But I know early on, you've always been, you found yourself, you're right. I'm remembering now, Phase 3, you were a quiet voice on the microphone. Mm-hmm. You were, okay, so that makes sense. You're a little uncomfortable. But you definitely have found your voice. You found your creative persona.
Yes, for the most part.
I mean, how much of this do you embrace? How much, like any good character, we had a good conversation with Rocco about the outlaw coming from a point of truth and who he is.
Yeah.
Do you enjoy having the crowd boo you?
To a degree, because then when I win, I get to be like, see, I told you.
In your
you.
Face.
A good friend of mine from college, who I've known for over 10 years,
right?
He followed the schmo down and he called me. And I was like, yeah, I was like, they're painting me as a heel.
Yeah.
And my friend from college goes, you were always a heel. They just started figuring it out.
Really?
Because he knew my competitive side. Like, even back in film school.
You can't help yourself.
I can't help myself. Like, I always want to be very competitive. I don't take, people are like, oh, can you just relax and have fun?
Yeah.
I am having fun. I am relaxed. I'm just very competitive about it. I'm not overly mean to anybody.
Right.
I just like to be confident if I feel like I'm
You're right. confident in yourself. And again, there was that moment we were driving, I think, from Screen Junkies to Schmoes one night in the car, and you were just laughing. You're like, it's so good to be me. It's so good to be me.
I mean, I'm happy.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes it's one of those things where you're just like, pinch yourself. Be like, is this really where I'm at right now?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of these listeners would love to be in the position you and I are in.
Sure, yeah.
So I don't take it for granted one day. I don't take it every day I go to work. Like, they call me in early. Like, you have to get up at 6 a.m. to shoot a special video.
Right.
I'm not going to complain.
Right.
Because I am like... just so lucky to even be in this position where I am right now.
You're captain perspective. You got a lot of perspective.
So I'm all about perspective, man.
Because you've been down and out. You've been on the outskirts.
And even then.
Scrambling to find work. When I met you, you came to Schmoes. Not only did you lie your way on, but I mean, weren't you like cleaning tables on the weekend or something like that?
Oh, dude. I took waiting jobs.
Right.
I took PA, like really crappy, crafty jobs. Like, I was at the point where I was like, listen, if I go back home, I could work a crappy job and have no opportunities around me.
Yeah.
Or I could work a crappy job in LA and have all these opportunities around me.
Right.
So it was a no-brainer for me.
You did it. That's part of what's the magic of JTE, the magic of your life, working for things.
Yeah, I mean.
And having a good attitude and just natural perspective. That's something that I get lost in a lot of times, where I have to stop and say, I'm at a Star Wars convention for a job. I was paid to be here. This is amazing.
Oh, my God. Of course. Yes.
And sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm so tired. Why? I wish I was home relaxing. Got to slap myself in the face. You don't have that. You have that built in, that perspective.
For sure. And my parents are definitely ones that kind of instilled that in me. My dad grew up in a very poor family in South America. Like, I think he was out on the streets when he was like 15. It was very poor living. So my dad didn't let us take any of the shit we got as kids. I had a, you know, middle America, you know, middle class life.
Yeah.
By no means were we poor, but by no means were we well off.
Right.
But to my dad, it was like, oh, really? Oh, you didn't get that toy you wanted from Toys R Us this week? Oh, how do you have dinner? Do you have a roof over your head? Like, let me tell you about what I had to do when I was a kid. So, like, very much like I'm always grateful for what I have.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm never going to be the one to be like, I need to have this or I'm not happy.
Right.
Because I was given so much more opportunity than my dad ever did.
That's
he instilled that in me.
Great philosophy.
Yeah.
And I mean, should you ever have kids, you'll pass it on to them.
I hope so. I would never, like, my worst nightmare is, like, if I ever had kids, they're just a spoiled brat. I have failed as a father. Like, if I see kids and they're, like, screaming because they can't get a toy.
Right.
Like, I don't ever, I mean, kids are kids, obviously.
Sure, sure, sure.
But I don't ever want to be to the point where I'm, like, just having a spoiled kid who doesn't appreciate what he has.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right. Right. That's a good philosophy. Let's talk a little bit about movies.
Yes.
Let's talk about the state of movies today.
Oh, man. Oh, great.
Are you happy with the state of big budget movies today compared to indies? It seems like a weird time as a film fan.
It's so brand. Mm-hmm. It's all about brand.
It's all about brand.
Which is something that was not the case growing up for me so much. Yeah, I look back at the. It's when I look back that I'm the most depressed about where we are right now.
Yeah, yeah.
When you look at the 80s and the original blockbuster films that were coming out back then,
right?
It was amazing. Like Back to the Future, Gremlins,
original
Ghostbusters, all these films like Raiders of the Lost Ark. You know, just something that Spielberg and Lucas got together and wanted to make. Those were even Star Wars. They're all original properties.
Yeah,
that were fed by these producers. Like Spielberg produced a lot of those movies, Back to the Future and all the other stuff. And I just feel like movies like that today won't get made on that scale unless it has some sort of built-in audience.
Yeah.
It's
no one wants to take that risk.
Exactly. And I think back then you had Spielberg, who was in charge of the money, but was like, let's make good stories.
Yeah.
And I still think, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. It's like, why didn't Spielberg help produce movies like that anymore? He launched all these smaller films, like Gremlins and Back to the Future. They weren't huge blockbusters. Well, they're huge blockbusters. But
sure.
He was just
became them.
Yeah, they became them. He was just supporting his filmmaker friends who had original ideas that they thought would be good movies.
Do you think we can ever get back to that? Or are we past that point?
Oh, man.
This big studio thing. Look, I get it. If you're going to invest $250 million into making a movie, marketing a movie, merchandising a movie, and you don't get that back, your job's on the line. So it's almost like it's gotten too big. I don't know if it can change.
It's tough. You know, I think about Marvel. MCU sold their properties, and then they took a risk, took their own money, and produced Iron Man.
Right.
Because they want to make it right. They want to make it their own. I mean, MCU, before it was with Disney, was its own studio.
Yeah.
And to me, that excited me because they weren't being, they didn't have to worry about dealing with Paramount or these other companies telling them what they could and couldn't do. So much so that Sony is like, come help us.
Yeah.
Because we messed up this franchise so much. So in some ways, like to me, MCU for a while was like a throwback to the older produced films of somebody that were making movies they wanted to with good scripts, good stories. Iron Man 2 was a misfire.
Sure, that they rushed that.
They rushed that to, you know. But MCU movies to me are great. I enjoy all of them. And it's because there's a creative control like Kevin Feige spearheading the whole thing.
Vision.
Who's spearheading Transformers?
Right.
Nobody. It's Michael Bay.
Michael Bay and that story group they've done? And, or?
Like 13 writers in a room.
Yeah.
And they're all they're thinking about is sequels, how they're going to branch us off to the spinoffs. Right. I don't think that's the way to going into making
global markets.
Yeah. And the way.
And look, it's always been a business. I mean, Star Wars ran into problems with Fox not believing in it, and Alan Ladd Jr. pushes it through, and even he, you know, was. Always, they held it against him that he never signed that toy deal better, and Lucas got all those rights. So it's always been a business. So we're not going to say
totally agree
that, but it seems to be seems to be so different. The haves and the have-nots. There's no middle ground.
Well, yeah, exactly. I've heard Alicia say this a couple times, a couple of other people. Like, there's the big budget movies and there's the indie movies. Yeah. It doesn't seem to be that mid budget film that was like maybe has a simpler story, doesn't need 100 explosions.
Right.
Like, Back to the Future is probably like a mid-level movie.
Right.
I mean, there's some special effects, but overall, it's just a really good story. I mean, Michael J. Fox was coming off a TV show at the time.
Right.
Christopher Lloyd wasn't a household name. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's nobody like really starring A-list stars in that movie at the time.
Right.
I think he had Teen Wolf come out right before that, which was a moderate hit.
But I think did they shoot that after?
I think Teen Wolf was right before Back to the Future.
But I mean, I think they might have shot it. Yeah.
No, they shot it before, but it came out after Back to the Future.
Gotcha, right. gotcha. That's what it is.
Again, it's just, and like they always say, the movie stars don't really open movies anymore.
No, nor and there was a period of time where directors were, but I think even that's starting to fade away.
That's a good point.
It's these brands.
It's all about the brands, and I just think we're losing the movies. Like, I can't think of the last movie that was just that came out of some guy's imagination who was given a moderate budget and made a huge hit. Like, The Matrix was one in the 90s.
Right.
That was a huge hit for them, and that's kind of, you know, they're inspired by a lot of things, but...
Sure, inspired by things, but still creative. Yeah, still not tied to a comic book. Exactly. Still not tied to... you know, I look at maybe something like Kingsman, though it was based on a comic. They kind of wrote that graphic novel to make it into a movie.
True, good point.
But they, even then, that surprised people, and now it is a brand.
Now it's a brand, yeah.
Now it's a franchise.
I mean, that's still... I'm a little bit better with that.
Sure.
Again, he did write it to make it a movie, but... I'm worried that we're losing those mid-level movies, like you said, that are just, I mean, Big was probably a mid-level movie when it came out with Tom Hanks. Like, it's just, we don't get movies like that anymore.
We don't get
like
those kind of original comedies.
That Thing You Do. Try.
Yeah.
Stick with Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
That Thing You Do is a great movie.
That's a good point, because when I was in, starting my film school journey, which ended abruptly for me to go into radio, but 2 years in, I was studying screenwriting. Excuse me. That was the mid-90s, and I was writing those type of movies.
Oh, okay.
You know, in my head, I had these stories. I didn't have these big, giant blockbusters planned out. I had some ideas of a big Star Wars fan. But, yeah, that's when I didn't want to write the independent art house movies. I was a straightforward dude that just liked hot dogs and popcorn and romantic comedies and maybe a detective detective caper. I don't know. Yeah. I don't think I would not want to be coming up right now trying to write those type of things, because I don't think they'd sell.
Yeah, and then you think about indie films. Those could be like really small budget, but make it big.
Right.
But I think maybe the way filmmaking has worked now, I think it's cheaper to make those mid-level movies in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm,
because a guy released a movie on an iPhone a couple years ago, Tangerine.
Right. Yeah,
it was shot on an iPhone.
Like,
now you can make some simpler stories. And I think technology has definitely played a role in it.
You can still do it, but then it also seems like in order to survive... Whether it's, you know, John Watts, a commercial director who makes Cop Car and horror film, and then all of a sudden now he's Spider-Man.
Yep.
That's kind of the, you know, Colin Trevorrow's another one.
Mm-hmm.
Safety Not Guaranteed, a movie I enjoy greatly.
Loved it.
Now it
Jurassic
seems
he's World.
Jurassic World.
Star Wars.
And that seems like what you kind of have to go for. And there are few and far between those jobs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It'd be tough being a young filmmaker coming up today.
Yeah, it's almost good and bad. It's like, look, all this technology I can use.
Oh, yeah, you can do almost anything you want now.
But that also makes everything so much more, there's so much more traffic.
Yeah,
it's harder
to
weed out like the good stuff.
Yeah, and the talent will rise to the top. But again, sometimes that doesn't happen organically as much as it should have or maybe used to. So you obviously enjoy movies. You're a big movie fan. When you go to the theater, you still have a lot of fun, though. You're not these big blockbusters. Even some of the dumber ones, you should still find some enjoyment in it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I saw Fate and the Furious.
You did?
It's a dumbass movie, but I enjoy, even if it's a dumb story and the acting's pretty bad,
right,
and some of it's very cartoony, I can still respect a well-shot action sequence.
Right.
That shows me something I haven't seen before. I don't think I've become, like, definitely after film school, I remember one of my teachers saying, you're not going to watch movies the same. You'd be much more critical.
Sure.
But at the same way, I enjoyed films more because knowing how they're made, you could actually see something that a regular audience member might be like, oh, that was cool.
Right.
Whereas I'll be like, holy shit, how did they do that? I'm so impressed right now.
Yeah.
I saw Children of Men in college, and it had like literally three tracking shots that blew my mind.
Right.
And I remember looking around the theater and no one else was really
picking up on it.
It's seamless to them. Yeah. It's just part of the movie. Me as a film student, I'm like, what is happening? And I back then, it was more of the film students. I think everyone now is just more in tune to what filmmaking is.
Yeah.
So like True Detective had that one tracking shot.
Right.
Like, and that was a huge deal.
Yeah.
Like everyone noticed.
Oh, there were think pieces on it the next day.
And everyone notices that now.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they noticed it as much like in the 90s.
I think you're right. I don't think they did. I don't think it was like the stuff you picked up, you know, watching the player in the opening uncut shot is a reference to other uncut shots.
Oh, and
they're meta talking about it on a meta level there. But I don't think that was some discussed in film school with us. Mm-hmm. We analyzed the player, but we didn't, you know, I didn't have those discussions outside
of that. Exactly. Now, I think especially the internet probably helps this.
Yeah, the podcasts.
Articles. And, like, people are more informed now about filmmaking. And like we said, there's just more access to cameras.
Yeah.
And we could buy like a $500 camera now and shoot a movie. I think more people are informed than they were. Mm. Back in the day, I think filmmaking was like a elite club.
Yeah.
You had working with film is so much different than digital. Mm. It is like expensive.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, you were privileged to make a movie back then, unless you were like Roger Corman, who was just,
just shooting them out.
He can. So I really feel like back then, like being interested in filmmaking and being like a filmmaker was a much more niche thing.
Yeah.
And now it's just more accessible to everybody. So
everyone thinks they can do it. Everyone, we find that in digital media, podcasting, same thing. And that's why I do say, like in the world of podcasting, the better ones rise to the top and all those kind of things. But yeah, you're right. Have you ever thought realistically about telling your own stories?
How so? Like
making a movie, making shorts? You've done some of that stuff before. That's why I asked. Can we ever get JT Movie Thinks Film?
I don't know. If I did, back when I was a kid, I want to be James Cameron.
Okay.
I want to make these big fantasy sci-fi action movies.
Right.
I want to make Terminator 2. I want to make Aliens. Like, I want to make those. Those are the movies, those pulp films that with big budgets were like, as a kid, those are the movies I want to make.
Right.
As an adult, I was like, fuck that.
Mm-hmm.
That shit looks so hard. Like, right. I can't wrap my head around how, like, you see Mad Max Fury Road. Like, I couldn't even imagine going out in a desert and shooting that. I just couldn't imagine it.
Yeah.
I don't have the brain power. So, like, if I did ever film something, it would be much more.
Right.
I would almost, like, one of my favorite films is Ball Rocket by Wes Anderson.
Oh, I love Ball Rocket, yeah.
Just great characters, funny dialogue.
Yeah.
And a simple story. That's kind of like if I made something, it'd be along those lines.
Along those lines, that's where I would like to. That my writing style. That's why I like Wes Anderson so much.
Because I mean, I'm not going to write a car chase because I know what that's going to entail.
Right.
I would definitely wouldn't mind shooting something, and it'd definitely be more comedic. Like I remember when you go to film school, you find out what you're better at.
Right.
Frank Oz had a great interview where he said he wanted to make movies like The Godfather growing up.
Mm.
Like that was his dream.
Right.
And then he got into filmmaking. And he realized he was better at comedy, puppetry. He became Yoda.
Right.
He's known for more comedic films like Bowfinger.
Yeah.
And the first Muppet movie. Like he learned
Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Yeah. Dirty Rotten Scoundrels is great. He learned that even though he wanted to make those big Godfather dramas, really was better at something else. So
you had to find your path.
And he did eventually try to make one of those movies. He did The Score with Marlon Brando, Robert De Niro,
Edward Norton.
He did eventually get a chance to make that kind of movie.
Yeah.
But I think he discovered in film school, like, his strength was more in comedy. And I found that for myself. Like I said, I wanted to make movies like Carlito's Way. Like, I wanted to make, like, Goodfellas movies. But in film school, I was just so much better at the comedic stuff.
Right.
And I touched upon that when I made movies like Meet the Schmoes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that was the first time I really saw it on display when you did the Meet the Schmoes with Bob Finstock.
Yeah, I had a blast shooting those, and I really felt like I had a good sense for comedic timing, and that's where I was like, okay, this is like what I'm better at.
Yeah.
This is what I would like to do.
So at any point, do you want to try that again? Any point?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've discussed about shooting some sketches.
Right.
Not skits.
Not skits, sketches.
We've talked about doing some sketches for maybe down the line for my YouTube channel.
Right.
Honestly, just because it'd be fun to do. It's not like I'm like, oh my God, I want to start this new comedy channel.
Right.
Just to dip back into filmmaking. Because I think once you start doing something, it's kind of like, it's infectious. Like, you start it and you're like, oh, yeah, I remember doing this.
Well, but yeah, it's like, I think we in this business, this digital media discussion world, we also still have to have our eye on the long-term prize, because we don't know how a lot of this...
Oh, God, yeah.
Digital media is here to last, but here to stay, I should say. But I don't know how, you know, we don't know. There's some endings to some of these channels that come out of nowhere.
Yep.
SourceFed going away scared a lot of us in here. So it's like... It's hard to pin. I'm uncomfortable pinning my hopes and dreams on a lot of this stuff.
Well, there's not a huge roadmap for this. This is when I moved to LA to work in film. This was not even on. This wasn't even an option.
No,
it was. You
didn't go get TriCaster trained. Not you just at all. Learned.
I went to film school. I came out here. I worked on films for years.
Right.
As a PA, as a, like a camera assistant.
Right.
And then this just happened because I was out here, and I was like, oh my God, like. Who knows if this was something that when I first moved out to LA, maybe I would have pursued it. I don't know, but.
I wish I was a little bit younger when this had started. But even when we first met in 2013 for doing the Schmoes Know podcast, it was a radio show more than anything. It was a Toad Hop Network, which, again, there's an example of some great people. Johnny, everyone, the gang over there. And then that goes away.
Yep.
Because it just couldn't generate the funds that was needed to run. And that was sad. And so we're cut adrift. So even then, back in 2013, and where did we start? We started After Buzz in 2014.
Okay.
Right? I'm trying to know how time flies. But that's my point is, even back then when Phase 3 ended, I don't think any of us could truly envision, even though Christian wanted us under one roof working and all that kind of thing, we didn't know where this kind of stuff would go. Screen Junkies was barely a thing.
You
know, Honest Trailers had just kind of started. Collider was just kind of, it was AMC Movie Talk then. We didn't know.
Yeah. I've been with Screen Junkies almost over 2 years now.
Yeah.
And where they were when I started to where they are now is
different.
Hugely different.
Yeah.
I mean, I was starting, Dan was editing Honest Trailers.
Yeah.
I was helping editing like Screen Junkie show. Like they, I was only working like 2-3 days a week when I first started there.
Right.
And to see where they are now to, you know, where they were then to now, it's like mind boggling.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Dan Merle was an editor.
Oh, yeah. That's how he started off.
It was Movie Fights that got his face out there.
That's true, yeah.
Definitely Movie Fights. Thing, yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, so sometimes I wonder, and I don't know if you think that, where it's like, well, some of the things I originally moved out here for, screenwriting or more comedic performing or acting even, which I never really fully...
Stand-up.
It's like, do I need to keep that going just to be sure that my, quote, brand is out there and that I have a safe path should some stuff go away? I never know. You never know, you know?
Yeah, the branding thing was all new to me. Like, when I changed my name from Schmoes JTE to JT Movie Things...
On Twitter,
I was like, oh, no. Christian and Mark are going to be like, what the hell, man?
Yeah.
But they totally understood. At the end of the day, it was just... I was the only one that had Schmoes attached to their name.
Right, right, right.
You were Ken.
Yeah.
Josh was Josh McCuga. I was the only one using the Schmoes, and rightfully so, because I started my online career with them.
Right.
But it got to the point where I was just like, I need to cross brand just so people could find my YouTube channel, my Instagram, and my Twitter are all at JT Movie Thinks. So it's pretty easy to find across the board.
Explain that name.
I was in the car with Mark Ellis.
Okay.
We were on the 101.
Yeah.
I think we were heading to play basketball.
Right.
I believe it was basketball. Yeah. It was
You guys are always playing hoops. Yeah.
It was like a Saturday afternoon, I believe. And I was like, hey, man, I'm thinking about starting a YouTube channel.
Right.
I was like, I need some ideas for names. I was like, I don't want to do JT Schmoes thing or something like that. Because I was like, you know, I'm not going to try to feed off your brand.
Right, right.
I was like, I'm just trying to think.
Do my own thing.
I'm trying to remember. I gave him a name, first of all.
Right.
And he said, don't like it. And he didn't like it. And then I think I said, JT Movie Thinks. And I just kind of said it. And he just kind of gave me like, oh, that's not bad. And honestly, there wasn't a huge amount of thought to it.
Yeah.
Once I said that out loud, I liked it, and I just went with it.
You just went with it.
I just said, screw it, I'm going to go
with it. It makes almost no sense, but it makes all the sense.
Yeah, JTE Movie Thinks. It's a disjointed... it's a sentence missing a few words.
Yeah, the JTE Movie Thoughts would have been maybe more apropos, but...
See, Thoughts was almost too fancy.
But that's my point, is it fits. It shouldn't fit. But it fits, and now it's here to stay. Well, look, even the name Schmoes Know was something that was debated.
True,
they weren't 100% happy with it. Ellis has never, you know, early on didn't like the name, and it just stuck. It got, once it left the station, you couldn't take it back.
That, yes, so. That's right. Again, I'm trying. I wish I could remember some of the other names I was kicking around.
Right.
But they weren't good.
So, yeah, they weren't
and
good.
And Ellis, he might even help me come up with movie things. I honestly don't remember the conversation completely. Right. I just remember leaving that car thinking, oh, that works.
That works.
And then when I wrote it down and I, you know, looked at it, I was like, yeah, it looks good. Yeah. Like, sometimes it's weird to think. Yeah. Like, you have to write something out to actually see if it looks good in the title. And again, that back then it was just a podcast.
Right.
It was just a way for me. I figured I passed like 10,000 followers and I was like, I have enough followers that I might get like, you know, a couple hundred people to listen to this thing. And obviously early on it helped getting a lot of guests on, like people from Schmoes. And when I started working with Screen Junkies, I was getting some of the Screen Junkie guys on, like Hal and Nick. Yeah. So that definitely helped me grow my brand.
Yeah.
I know no one's going to listen to just me. I mean, you're brave. You come out with a podcast where it's just you and a microphone. I can never do that. I'm not that talented on a microphone.
You could. If we pulled your string, you talk about movies, I bet you could talk about Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, I probably could.
Do 30 minutes on him.
If I had to do 30 minutes, I could probably, if I just went down his filmography and told him I liked about every movie, I probably could.
Yeah, you should do.
But how much better would that be with Finstock?
Well, I'm not arguing that point, but that should be one of the shows on JT Movie Thinks, is the life and times of Sylvester Stallone.
I know. Part of me feels like I might do that one day if he ever passes away, just as a coping mechanism.
But I think you do it now. Maybe get him on, man.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Movie by movie. Each episode is you and Tom Dagnino reviewing and then watching a Stallone movie reviewing.
I'm not even lying. I've thought about that before.
I think.
I thought about where I just sit down. We start with like 1976 Rocky. Maybe we'll skip Lords of Flatbush because he's not really the star. Then we go right into like Paradise Alley, Nighthawks, Rocky II. Like,
it's perfect.
I wouldn't mind doing that.
It's perfect.
I think that I'll do that, but I want to build up my subscriber base a little bit. Okay. I got to 5,000 pretty quickly.
Sure.
But it's been a struggle getting to 10K. Like, I'm just about to hit 8,000 subscribers.
Okay.
Maybe when I hit like 10,000 or more.
Yeah.
It's hard. Like, it's hard. Like, Twitter, you know, sometimes I'll get 100 followers in a week.
It's weird.
YouTube's hard to build up a subscriber base, man.
And because a lot of people are watching but not subscribing.
Exactly.
A lot of people.
Oh, my God. I mean, a lot of my trail reactions get like 30 to 50,000 sometimes.
Right.
And you'll maybe get like a couple, 50 followers out of that.
Right.
It's like, come on, man.
Right. If you could get all of them, you'd be an empire. But look at this. This is where how far you've come. The first conversation was about an intern stepping into the spotlight, and now you're talking about brands, subscribers, and climbing numbers. You're doing something right.
Yeah, I mean, I have fun doing it all.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm not in it for the money. I really ain't. I'm just doing it because I enjoy doing it. And I think that's a great way to go in thinking when you do anything creatively.
Yeah. That's a good approach. You always have that good approach, and I'm glad to share it here with the people here. So before we wrap up, do let everyone know where they can find your stuff, man. It's been fun talking to you, as always, but there's a reason we're here. We want to get the word out.
Oh, let's get it out there. At JT Movie Thinks on Twitter. Mm. Instagram, I barely ever use Instagram. I only use it to see where I get tagged in. YouTube, JT Movie Thinks.
Yeah.
Subscribe,
branding,
man.
People, branding.
I have a couple videos. Like, obviously, I do reviews for when I can, I try to see things early.
Right.
But I'm trying to do more original content. Like, me and Finstock have this thing called WTF Trailer Reactions.
Right.
Where we watch trailers from the 80s, 90s, 70s, just some of the craziest shit you ever seen. And we just kind of break it down. They're about 8 to 10 minutes long. And then I just started doing one with my girlfriend, which I'm really enjoying, called Two Take Review.
Okay.
Where she is younger than me.
Not Take Two Review.
Not Take Two. Two Take
Review.
Yeah, Miss Movies called me out on that. And I kind of like, I don't know, for me, I just thought.
It works. It flows off the tongue.
Yeah,
Two JT Take JT Movie Things presents
Two Take Reviews. Yeah.
What's the
premise
of that?
Another thing about title. Say it out loud.
Say it out loud.
It helps
These
out.
These are career tips from JTE.
She is really good when it comes to current films, like the past like 10 years or so.
Right.
She's missed a lot of the classics. I mean, she's seen like Back to the Future and Ghostbusters.
Sure.
Unlike you to a certain degree.
You've seen Back to the Future.
You've not seen Ghostbusters. Yeah. But like for me, it's just fun for her to show her movies she hasn't seen that I consider to be classics or just really good movies.
Okay.
And in a review, she doesn't know what she's about. It's kind of like my podcast. She has no idea what she's going to watch until right before we watch it.
You do it.
She pulls out a bag of what we're about to watch. And then she just kind of gives her, like, what she knows about the movie.
Right.
Sometimes she won't know anything about it, and she'll be like, I've heard of it.
Right.
But then she'll be like, oh, I've seen trailers for this. I've heard of this before. And she'll kind of give your expectations. It's usually, like, 2 minutes. And then we sit down. We watch the movie in my nice projector in my apartment.
Which helped set up.
And then we come back, and I give my review, which is, as a, somebody who's watched it. Who knows? Maybe 100 times by this point. And we get her review, who's someone, you know, is new to it. Like, I showed her the last one we did was Batman 1989. I grew up in that movie. I love that
movie.
Yeah,
absolutely.
She hated it.
Really?
She hated it. She loves the Dark Knight trilogy.
Sure. And she had never seen this one?
She'd never seen the original Batman 1989.
Okay.
And I showed it to her, and she hated it. I was shocked. I thought she would at least take some enjoyment out of it.
Yeah.
She could not get over the corniness and the date. She thought it was too dated. But
there's some truth to that. But that's
the great perspective. Like, and it's not just me going, you're crazy.
Right, right.
I'm like, well, tell me why. And then I tell her why I enjoy it.
Right.
And, you know, it's just nice to get a fresh and old perspective on these films.
You are old and she is young.
Yes, exactly. Yes. I've done well.
That's great. You have done well. That's a great way to end the show, Josh. You have done very well for yourself, and I know you're going to continue to do well. Please follow this stuff, JT Movie Things. Over on Screen Junkies, you got some big movie fights coming up. You're hopefully getting that title shot down the line with Dan Merle.
That's the plan.
When this episode airs, your big match, I think, is still to come. So follow his adventures over there. You're still on the Schmoes No Show. You show up on Collider Movie Trivia, the Movie Trivia Schmodown, and you are a vital cog in that. You have a lot going on. As always, you're a fascinating character. Let's hope that you check for green lights before you cross the street.
Wait till I get my license.
See you guys next time on the Knapsack Files. But before you go, don't forget the Knapsack Files is on Apple Podcasts, what formerly was known as iTunes, still kind of is. It's out there. Subscribe, rate, and review. That really helps the station. We're on Podomatic and Stitcher as well. And don't forget our Patreon page. You can follow me at Ken Knapsack and use the hashtag TheKnapsackFiles to join the conversation. We'll see you guys next time.